Welcome to Career Chores. This week, what makes an accomplishment significant? The questions this class answers are, does an accomplishment have to be recent to be significant? Does an accomplishment have to be special to be significant? And does an accomplishment have to be better than every other candidate's in order to be significant? It is almost time for last orders for 2022, but we still have a few more opportunities for you to get your training in. We have conferences in Jersey City, Melbourne, Australia, Silicon Valley and Chicago, as well as virtual opportunities for both the Effective Manager Conference, the Effective Remote Manager, the Effective Hiring Manager and the Effective Communicator. So whatever the training is that you need before 2023, we can do it for you. Go to managertools.com and look for training in the menu bar. I think the question, tell me about a significant accomplishment, or tell me about an accomplishment you're proud of, or tell me about a project you've been a part of that you're proud of, or tell me about the best thing you did in that job. All of these variations on a significant accomplishment happen in 99.99999% of interviews. It's the question. And even when the question isn't that question, often it means that question. You know,
right.
tell me about a time when you dealt with a difficult customer give me a significant accomplishment around dealing with a customer, right?
Exactly.
So it's the subtext, even if it isn't the actual text of the question. And the problem with saying significant accomplishment is that candidates then psych themselves out because they think of the word significant as meaning way more than it does. They're trying to kind of, what does significant mean in this context? Does it mean like the best ever? Does it mean better than everybody else's? Does it mean, is there some standard that I have to reach? You know, and it psychs them out, and then they answer the question the best that they can, and then they're then thinking, was that significant enough? And they're still thinking about that question when answering the next question. And that's what gets you tangled up in your own mind and you're not focused and the interview goes downhill from there. It's actually way simpler than most people think it is. So we're just going to give you a simple explanation of what it means and how to answer it. And then you'll be good forever.
Yeah, you won't overthink it. Exactly. Our outline for today is significant does not mean best or most. Then we're going to talk about choosing an accomplishment that is relevant and more recent is better. So as we talk about significant does not mean best or most, significance is much more dependent on context than it is on being the best or most. The definition of significance for an interview is, and this is really important because we're going to break it down, an accomplishment that was more difficult than the average accomplishment for you at that time in that role.
There's a lot of caveats there.
Yeah.
If you're going to pass it, you're going to pass it very carefully. So we're going to go through each element one at a time because it's really important that you have all of them in order to make sure that you pick the right significant accomplishment without psyching yourself out.
Exactly. And I think in this part of the cast, the important thing to remember is not best or most. So many times I think if you're the interviewee, you want that like wow moment.
Mm-hmm.
You want it to be really a good story, which is why we really struggle, some of us really struggle with giving the bottom line up front and then giving the details, because we want to build up to that crescendo of this, look at how big, or look at how this was the best or the most, and doesn't need to be that at all.
So the first part is an accomplishment that was more difficult than the average accomplishment. So hopefully you go through your day, all day, having accomplishments. I mm-hmm. submitted a report this morning. I did my expenses. I came up with an idea about how to make some work shorter. I worked on my relationship with one of my colleagues, right? All of those are accomplishments. Mm-hmm. And some days those are really big accomplishments because some days life is harder than others. But if you're looking over the entirety of a job or even your career, you can imagine all of your accomplishments lined up like soldiers on parade, you know, like they put the tallest one on the right and the shortest one on the left, and they're all lined up. And those four that I just mentioned, of four things I did today, don't come anywhere near. They're down the bottom in the short soldiers section. But about halfway up, all of a sudden, the soldiers are taller, and that all of those soldiers are taller than the ones at the bottom. So the best accomplishments are at one end, the very best, but you only have one best, one tallest accomplishment. But in order to choose the accomplishment for the answer to this question, you can choose everything that's better than average. So every accomplishment that's better than the middle one is your choice. And if you have 100, that's 50 to choose from, not what most people think of, which is the top three.
Absolutely. And all of those aren't going to be the same. And there are distinguishing characteristics of each one. And that's what would make some of those better than others. And we're going to talk through some of those as well. For example, if the average sale you've made so far in your role as a salesperson is $10,000, a sale of $12,000 is a significant accomplishment. It's above the average. Now, if you have a sale of $15,000 or $20,000, obviously those are even better. But not having those accomplishments doesn't prevent you from answering the question using the $12,000 example.
Yes, because it's better than average. And
exactly.
And I'm using average in a very colloquial way, because I can never remember average and mean and median and so on. So take average to be the mathematically correct version of whatever I should be saying, because I can never remember that stuff.
Yeah.
The next part of the sentence is for you. The best salesperson on your team making a $20,000 sale does not diminish the significance of a $12,000 sale for you. The average we're looking for is not the average across the team or the average across the company or the average over time for the entire company. It's not about anyone else. Nobody else is in this interview with you. It's just you and the interviewer and whatever standard there. You're selling your accomplishments. And if the $12,000 sale is the accomplishment you have to sell, then don't lose confidence by comparing yourself to others. They're not in the interview. It's just you. No, you don't need to think, I think that's what psychs people out. They, you know, like, oh, I only had a 12,000 sale. I bet the next candidate who comes in had a 20,000. It doesn't matter, because everybody has a different mix of accomplishments and skills and traits and abilities. And one person has the right ones for that role, sometimes more than one. And you either have them or you don't. And that has to be based on what you have, what you're bringing to the table.
Well, and that's a great point, Wendy. I mean, if you've walked through our general store exercise, I mean, the $12,000 sale, yes, that's significant. That's the tip of the iceberg, though. There's what did you do in order to get that $12,000 sale? And maybe those skills or those behaviors that you demonstrated are more translatable to this new role or the role that you're interviewing for.
Yeah, what if you're the car salesman at a car lot and you sell the little itty bitty cars that go in the city, and somebody else sells the SUVs that are four times as much because they're four times the size? Assuming you make the same amount of sales, you will never monetarily beat the guy who's selling SUVs, because the sale, the average sale, is higher. That doesn't mean that your 10 sales don't mean as much to you as his 10 sales mean to him.
Yeah, and I think you made a great point about not comparing yourself to others, including people that you don't even know who they are or that they exist, right? That's, oh, goodness. Talk about overthinking and overanalyzing. Yeah. So the next part in the sentence is at the time, right? So all of us can look back at accomplishments that we've had earlier in our career and see how small they are compared to what we have now. I mean, even accomplishments sometimes from last year seem puny compared to what we're working on now. That doesn't make them a bad example, though, to use to answer this question. when you're judging the significance of an accomplishment, we have to judge it against its peers, not the accomplishments from a year or 3 years later, right?
Yeah. You get this early with people really early in their career who are interviewing for their like second or third job or their first real job, and they have accomplishments from a retail store, perhaps. And they're like, well, you know, I reorganized the stock room and made it more efficient. If you are a retail salesperson and you manage to organize a stock room, that's an accomplishment. In that role, at that moment, that's still an accomplishment, even though, you know, 20 years later, you probably don't even remember it. And if you did, you'd think, well, I'm running a multi-million dollar project now. Well, of course it seems puny, but for a 16-year-old, it's pretty good.
Absolutely. And I would venture to guess that that same person 10 years later, if you looked at the file structure of their folders on their computer.
Yeah, still organized.
Probably pretty organized.
Yeah. And the last part we have is in that role. Like what you can achieve at any one time is highly dependent on the role you have. That retail salesperson can't have an accomplishment that's, I don't know, running a project, because projects don't happen in stores when you're the Saturday person. A salesperson with the best performing territory in the country should easily be able to outperform their peers with the same amount of effort, because the territory is so much better. The materials that they have to work with are so much better, and therefore the outcome should be. The salesperson for ice machines in Alaska is always going to struggle to have the same sales numbers of those of the best person in Florida, right?
Oh, for sure.
The demand for ice in Alaska must be pretty low. But that doesn't mean that the Alaskan salesperson sales can't be significant compared to his own achievements the previous year or the previous period or compared with a previous job. You know, it can still be significant. You just have to compare it to itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Significance is dependent on context, not size or impressiveness. That's what some of us really need to get over when it comes to thinking about our answers to these questions. I mean, the tallest building in Vermont is only 124 feet. When you compare that with, you know, the Empire State Building in New York, that's 1,454 feet. That's very different, right?
Yeah.
But that building in Vermont is still the tallest building in Vermont.
Yeah. It can still lord it over every other building in Vermont, even though, you know, the world's 100 tallest buildings dwarf it.
Yeah.
You know, just remember, I'm the tallest building in Vermont. And if you use this standard, you have so many more accomplishments to choose from, which helps you because you can find one that's closer in relevance and time, usually, to the answer to the question. If you imagine the question is, tell me about a significant accomplishment where you, sold a piece of machinery to a company in Hawaii. It's super specific,
super
right?
Super specific.
And the only accomplishment, you have three top accomplishments, and the closest one is, I did some maintenance for a car in Vermont, because we just said Vermont. Like those two things, that answer isn't relevant, but it's the best one of three. Whereas if it's the best one of 50, you have a much better chance of making it relevant, which is the next point.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about, is choosing an accomplishment that is relevant. A smaller accomplishment that is relevant is a far better answer to this question than a bigger accomplishment that isn't. For example, if a salesperson is asked, tell me about a significant accomplishment, an answer about, I mean, really, anything other than a sale made is irrelevant. What's worse is that it implies that the salesperson doesn't have any accomplishments related to sales.
Yeah, if you can't give
not a good sign.
Yeah, exactly. As a salesperson, you should have 10 sales-related accomplishments.
Yeah, there should be sales that you're particularly proud of for whatever reason, and not all of them are size or, you know, was the most impressive. The first significant accomplishment, for example, of a project manager should be a project that's delivered on time, on budget, and in scope, right? I can't think of a project manager. I mean, maybe it's possible that they have an example of a significant accomplishment that is a project that didn't come in on time. If that's the best you have, that's pretty scary.
Yes.
Right? That's probably not the best thing to lead with. Mm-hmm. And so anything else that implies that the candidate cannot fulfill the very purpose of their job, right? The reason for their job, like, for instance, delivering projects. When the question is unqualified, the answer has to be a demonstration of your ability to carry out the fundamental basics of the job.
So if the question is only, tell me about a significant accomplishment, the answer has to include whatever the fundamental purpose of your job is. If you can't give a sales answer and you're a salesperson, or you can't give a project manager answer and you're a project manager, that's a really big black mark in your interview.
And I would just maybe put a different spin on it, Wendy. I would say if, because the question isn't specific, you think that maybe this is the time to be creative mm-hmm. in your answer or find something deep in the well.
Mm-mm. No, you're wrong.
No, you're wrong.
Yeah. I went shopping at the weekend for dresses, and Target's a mess because there's a sale on, and so there's stuff everywhere. Like, every time I picked up something that was pants, that was a no, because it wasn't a dress and that I wanted a dress. You know, if you're a project manager and you're not doing, you can't demonstrate something about project management, then you're the pants.
Yeah. Even the greatest pants you could have possibly picked up
would not have been adequate.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, they don't fit the bill. They don't fit the very basic bill, which is be a dress. If the question is qualified, so for example, tell me about a significant accomplishment where you built long-term relationships, then the answer needs to answer that question. So if you're a project manager, it doesn't necessarily have to be a project management answer, although it probably is, but it does necessarily have to be about building long-term relationships. If you answer this question with, you know, I made a significant sale and this is how I did it, and it's not about a long-term relationship, then you've missed the point.
Right.
And again, it's like trying to buy a sofa and the clerk in the store saying, hey, I have this great dining table. It can be a beautiful dining table, but it's not very comfortable when you want to watch a movie.
Yeah. And even if it's on sale.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Still not comfortable when watching
a movie.
It's
not what I'm looking for.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I think one of the core tenets of our guidance around interviews is answer the question that you're asked. Yeah.
If careers are built on two things, results and relationships, most of your team's problems for both come from communication. It doesn't matter whether you're trying to get results or you're trying to build relationships. Both of them mean communication. And that was not something we were taught at school. We just do what comes naturally. And that's not always the most effective thing. So if you're struggling with your team, we are happy to send one of our trainers to you. In one day, you can teach an entire team the empty disc model, how to understand each other and how to communicate with each other more effectively and have an even more successful 2023 than you are currently planning. Please email us at customerservice@manager-tools.com and Maggie will be happy to help you.
All right, our next point is use skills as a proxy for relevance. So if you can't think of an example that's relevant in this sense, you know, for example, you only have a dining table when you're being asked for a sofa, then you can use skills as a proxy to relevance. The significant accomplishment question is not really about the size of the accomplishment at all, as we hope you've, you know, figured out by this point in the cast. It's about the skills, traits, abilities, and characteristics that you used to achieve it. That's why a relevant example is better than a bigger one. And the example doesn't need to be the biggest in order to be significant.
And because the question breaks down this way, you can use an example that shows the same skills, even if it's not exactly the same situation as described in a qualified question. So if you don't have something that's exactly that situation, you know, for example, early in your career, you might be trying to find a significant accomplishment that demonstrates your accuracy with spreadsheet data. But if you've never had a job where you've had to use spreadsheets, which, you know, if you're 18 is completely possible, you don't have a relevant answer to give me a significant accomplishment around using spreadsheets and your accuracy. But the skill of accuracy is used in other jobs, in other circumstances. So you could say, I don't have an answer for spreadsheets. I've never had to use them at work, but I have been a cashier, and of 100 days that I worked last year, my register balanced 99 of them. And then the 100th day, I was only a penny out, right? That's the skill of accuracy, just in a different context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A later career example could be if you're asked for a significant accomplishment in the area of developing new processes or procedures, the skills required for that are logical thinking, relationship building, written and verbal communication. So an example about solving a long-standing customer problem, for example, could be relevant if you had nothing else. So in this case, you would preface your answer with something like, I don't have any experience developing new processes, but I do have an example using the skills required, logical thinking, relationship building, written and verbal communication, and then give your answer. This reassures the interviewer that you're not just giving a random answer, but there is a link between your answer and the question. And I think this is critical because as interviewers, you know, I've interviewed a lot, and some of the questions that I go into an interview with are very specific because I want to ask specific questions, because usually specific questions get more specific answers, which usually are better answers. But I don't expect everyone to have, you know, a cookie cutter answer to that specific question. But I would much rather have someone say, I know this answer does not answer what you're looking for, but I think it translates well because of this, right? Rather than someone start telling me an answer and me think to myself, do they think this answers the question? Because this doesn't really answer the question, right? And then now my brain is not focused on their answer.
Right. Yeah, you have to give them the warning of, I'm not just giving you a random answer. Yeah. There is a link between these two, and I can see it, and you have to spoon feed them. Otherwise, they'll just think you missed the point, and that's not good for you. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I would much rather give that answer that says, hey, I don't have that particular experience in my career, but I have one that I think translates well because of these skills, and take the hit. Maybe they are looking for that.
Yeah.
And I would rather take that hit than what we just talked about, which is they're not even sure. Or is this the answer? Do they think this translates to this question? You know, no.
The last point is more recent is better. So the entire cast came out of a question that we were sent of, well, does the significant accomplishment have to be in the last 2 years or something? And the answer is no. And so the more recent the accomplishment is, the better. All other things being equal, which as Mark frequently points out, they never are. So if you have the choice of two accomplishments and they're equally significant according to the definition we gave you, use the one that's closer in time. And they won't be equal, because more recent accomplishments are almost always more significant by value of the development of your career. So something I did last year is almost certainly better, a bigger project, more impressive, with scarier clients, whatever, than one I did 10 years ago, just because I have 10 years experience and therefore I do more complicated things now.
Yeah.
You know, for the vast majority of us, the job we have now or the job we had before this one are where the best accomplishments come from, if we use, you know, best as biggest, most impressive, so on. That doesn't mean they're the most appropriate, But if you have more than one appropriate one, choose the one that's closer in time, more recent.
Yeah. That said, an older, smaller accomplishment that is more relevant is better than accomplishment that's less relevant but more recent. So an example would be a lawyer who won a $3 million libel case during this year might choose to give an accomplishment answer about a case from 5 years ago that has a lower value if it's connected to a nonprofit case, if that lawyer is interviewing for a job at a nonprofit.
The relevance outweighs the number in that case.
The recency. Yeah.
The significant accomplishment question is not as difficult as it seems. The significant piece trips people up and it doesn't need to. If you take the sample as every accomplishment you have that's above average for you in that job at that time, you have way more examples to choose from. And that means you almost certainly won't struggle to find one that's relevant and timely.
That's right.
And if you are not sure how to create an accomplishment, find them, know what they look like. There are some other podcasts on the website, including one that's called Resume Accomplishment Examples, which has a whole bunch of examples so you can see what other things could be accomplishments.
Exactly.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.